That's at 8 o'clock, so we're going to go down there. And then after that, I'll give you a little tour of the school and talk a little bit about Sherman. And then at 9:30, Sandy Cullen from the Wisconsin State Journal is coming to interview me and my learning coordinator about diversity and race in the schools. And then we'll go out and about again and visit some classrooms.
Okay.
And by the time that's done, we'll be ready to go to lunch.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, so it'll be good. So we are connected to Shabazz. We're going to walk down that way, and we'll just kind of position ourselves there for a while. So what we would have to do is set up a separate account for exploratory Cindy Brooker. This group, most of our meetings here are teacher-led. That's one of our major school priorities is democratic governance. So it used to be that when I've been here for 5 years, we used to do it where the principal or administrators and our learning coordinator, who you haven't met yet, who's like our curriculum expert, she's like a quasi-administrator, we would run all the meetings. But now it's branched out to Sue as our French teacher, and she's the chair of this group. And I've just found that our school improvement efforts are carried out much better when there's other people, right, it's not just the principal being in charge.
William Cook.
Bob Lestina.
How you doing? Welcome.
Nice to see you. He always is so friendly and smiley to me every time I come.
So Mr. Cook is our head of security here at our school.
I'd listen to him.
Being a presence in the hallways helps out with lunch, recess, and all the times that we have major passing times with the kids. William's out and about, and then he gets to know certain kids really well to help them when they need somebody to talk to.
And you're here full time.
Yes, I am. I'll be here to the tear the building down or she leaves one. And I'll probably go wherever she goes. So.
Shabazz has a separate space where actually it's above us right now. And the high school students come and use one of the gyms.
This is one building, though, is that correct?
One building, and we're just going to stop here for a minute. You had asked before we talked to Mr. Cook, can students just go from Sherman to Shabazz? They can't. What Shabazz likes to do is have...
Those are different chairs than these. Okay. We had the only fumble, Johnny, me and you.
Yeah, did we?
Almost yelled ball and went for it. That was my first reaction.
Good evening. Welcome to the Board of Education special meeting workshop, June 18th, 2007. Before we officially move into the agenda, I'd like to just make a quick announcement in welcoming Laura Chekovich to the table. Laura is our new student alternate, and will be joining us for a good part of the summer as Joe Carl Smith is working in Washington, D.C. So welcome, Laura. The next item of business on the agenda is approval of minutes dated March 29, 2007. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Okay. I guess you're going to be on. So are you ready to vote tonight, or do you want to? Okay. Typically, what we would do after we have a motion and a second and a discussion, then we'll go to the student for an advisory vote. But tonight, we'll bypass that so you can just see how this works. Thank you. So, board, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And that passes 7-0. The next item on the agenda is announcements, and there are no announcements. Third on the agenda is ratification of Madison Teachers, Inc. collective bargaining unit contract for 2007-2009. Ms. Carstensen.
I move that the board ratify the tentative agreement for the 2007-2009 teacher contract reached on June 12, 2007 by the district's negotiations team with the MTI teachers negotiations team.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Ms. Kubza.
I have a statement, so I'm going to read it. I wrote it out so there's no misunderstanding. After much consideration, I've decided to vote against the tentative agreement negotiated by the district and the MTI Teachers Union. I will do so because the agreement fails to include significant health insurance changes, and as a result, I feel it unreasonably depresses the salary increases that can be provided to our teachers. While the total salary and benefit increase to our teachers under the proposed agreement, the total package, is 4.02%, our teachers will only receive a 1% increase in their salaries in each of the next 2 years. This is so, even though we ask our teachers to do more and more each year, given budget cuts and changes in our student demographics. The rest of the increase is eaten up by benefits, the vast majority of which is for health insurance. I would like to see our teachers' salaries increase by more than 1% per year. I believe a greater increase is well-deserved and is needed to continue to keep and retain excellent teachers. I also believe a greater increase is needed so that the district's starting salary for new teachers is competitive. While money is obviously very tight, we could provide teachers with higher salaries if the district and the MTI Teachers Union, working together, would negotiate health insurance changes. The district's initial proposal regarding health insurance coverage was to offer teachers the choice of three different HMO options or WPS. If a teacher chose one of the HMO options, Group Health Cooperative, Physicians Plus, or Dean Care, the district would pay the full cost of that HMO. If, however, a teacher chose coverage under WPS, which would still be available, the district would only pay the cost of the most expensive HMO, and the teacher would pay the rest of the cost of WPS. This proposal would have provided for a 2.81% salary increase for teachers for 2007-2008, as opposed to a 1% increase. The district and other employee groups have successfully worked together to revise health insurance coverage during the past year, with the result that more money was available for employee wages to these groups. I was hopeful that similar results could be achieved for our teachers. When I have raised this concern about how teacher salaries have been unreasonably depressed by the increasing cost of WPS, I have been told by some that it is none of the district's business how MTI decides to split the negotiated salary and benefit package. I just cannot agree with this view. While it is true that the total dollar impact to the district is the same regardless of how MTI splits the money between salary and benefits, I believe it is very important to the district how the money is spent. It is essential to the district that we have good, competitive teacher salaries and that our health insurance costs not drain money away from those salaries. It is essential that our teachers are paid fairly and equitably.
It is not fair that a teacher who takes WPS insurance should receive $7,500 more in salary and benefits than a teacher who takes group health cooperative. It is not fair that a majority of our teachers take group health cooperative, yet they continue to have their compensation reduced to fund the benefits of others. I'm extremely disappointed that the district and MTI working together could not reach an agreement that puts more money into teachers' salaries and less into health insurance costs. I truly, truly believe that if the interests of the whole had been put first, this could have been done. But because we failed to take advantage of this opportunity, I feel I have no choice but to vote against the tentative agreement. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Ms. Mathiak.
I also will be voting against the agreement after spending a lot of time thinking about it over the weekend. I am particularly concerned about the issues that Ms. Kubza has raised, and I'm especially concerned that this contract is going to lock us into a wage and benefit structure that is going to constrain our ability to not only offer better raises to our early and mid-career teachers, but also has an impact down the road as we look at budgets and once again are told we have to cut positions because we don't have enough money. It's not, for me, it's not just the health care, although that's one concern, but I also am concerned about the retirement program, which also consumes a significant amount of budgetary resources every year for teachers who are retiring, not for teachers who are in the classroom. I've heard from a number of teachers over the weekend. There's a lot of distress, especially among the younger teachers and the people who are just entering mid-career. And I'm concerned that there has been some confusion over the package and the total package in the first and second year. And I know that confusion is easy to have happen. God knows we've seen our own shares of confusions this year. However, I'm very concerned that the confusion was clarified at a point after the union had voted to ratify the contract, and so that's just another red flag for me. I just cannot in good conscience vote for this because I believe that it unfairly it creates disincentives for people that we're going to need in our schools 5, 10, 15, and 20 years from now. It's great for our most senior teachers and staff, many of whom are now retiring, and who, in fact, served on the bargaining committee. But I just am very, very worried that as our younger staff look at the other districts and surrounding districts, Madison is going to be less attractive as an employer. And I would like to keep these people here because I want our schools to be strong, not this year, not next year, but 5, 10, 15 years from now. Thank you.
Any additional comments or discussion? Superintendent, I have a question.
Yes.
What does it mean if it's voted not to ratify the agreement?
We believe that would mean that we would resume negotiations. Yeah. I would also comment that I believe it would be fair to say that if that were to occur, since we were operating within, as a negotiating team, we were operating within the framework that the board established. We were well within the authority that we had, that it would be in the board's best interest to hire another negotiator, that the four of us should not go back to the table.
Thank you. Was there another? Ms. Moss?
I also would love to see our young teachers get more money in salary, and I would love to see less money spent on health care. However, I do plan to vote for this because I feel that it is fair. It's a good agreement. The total is 4.0%, which is just two percentage points above the QEO. The district did negotiate with the union. It's a collective bargaining agreement, meaning that the teachers, MTI teachers, did vote for this agreement and came back to us with it. We did offer other health insurance possibilities, and they were declined. I feel that the district made a good faith attempt in this agreement, and I'm afraid that if we go back to negotiation, that we will end up in arbitration, which will end up costing us money for that process, and then the result of that arbitration may end up costing the district more than this agreement that we're looking at right now.
Ms. Carstensen.
Actually, Beth just about stole what I was going to say, which is I totally agree with what Lori says about the importance of providing better salaries for younger and mid-range teachers, and the disappointment about not being able to have the union adopt a change in health insurance, which would have allowed us to provide a greater increase to teachers. But as Beth pointed out, this is a negotiated settlement with the union, who acts on behalf of the teachers. And I think that my feeling is that whatever I feel about the appropriateness of one option versus the other, I am obligated to support something that came in at a level that we had said was within our guidelines. I have another question, I guess, either for Art or Melina, because I know this has happened in the past. Once we've adopted or ratified a contract, there have been situations where we have reopened a contract. My recollection is that if both parties to the contract agree, we can reopen it for a particular purpose. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. You are correct, although we don't have any specific reopeners built into the tentative agreement. As with anything mm-hmm. that's contained in the agreement, if the parties want to talk about and make modifications during the term of the agreement, they can enter into those discussions.
Okay, so there are options I think people have within their union. If there are a substantial number who feel that their interests were not served, and I certainly wouldn't guess at how the majority of the union feels. We went through a process. They have a process for ratification. The union has ratified, and I really think that that my responsibility here is also to ratify.
Ms. Kubza.
And there's just been a couple of comments made about acting within the authority granted by the board. And I agree that this agreement is within the authority granted by the board, although that was not a unanimous decision. And my statement tonight is consistent with the position I have taken uniformly. So I don't want to somehow make it seem like I'm trying to undercut a position that I previously approved.
Any further discussion? Mr. Winston?
Just real quickly, just want to thank Superintendent, the administrative team, negotiations team, for their hard work, effort, their diligence in this whole process. I believe that anytime that you negotiate a contract, it's got to be a difficult process because it has to be give and take by both sides. I, too, would like to be able to give more money to our teachers because what they do is very important. But I think, as I'm sure we will be talking about in the next couple hours or so, we'll be talking about priorities and where we are as a society. And, I do believe that education is important. I do believe that the board was involved fully in the process. We all put our cards out on the table. We talked about all the issues that were involved. I personally feel comfortable with the settlement that was made. There was concessions on both sides. And if you look at in terms of the salary and benefit packages that we're asking our educators to take, and then you look at what other people are taking or having to deal with on a state level, federal level, county level, things like that. I believe that our benefit packages, we fall, we're very within people's means. And unfortunately, I wish we had more money, but we don't, and we are living within those means. So I will be voting in support of this contract.
Ms. Mathiak.
And I agree also that the board, the district was negotiating within what the board approved, again, not hardly by consensus. I will cop to being somebody who is changing their position, in part because had there been a larger show of support for this contract by union members, I would tend to believe that this is indeed what the union is asking for. I'm very concerned that, again, the benefits package information contained, certainly in the MTI negotiation update dated June 14th, which is the night of the vote, does have the 4.27 for the second year. And so, you know, I can't speak to issues within the union. That's an internal union issue. But it makes me very concerned. One of the reasons that I reluctantly went with what the administration did bargain with, and I did hope to see a shorter term on the TERP, I'd also add, but one of the reasons that I reluctantly voted for it is I was concerned about the impact on morale and potential job actions. At this point, I'm not sure what to expect, but I'm not seeing what I consider to be a strong signal from the rank and file teachers and other staff included in that unit that this is the contract that they want. When you have such a tiny portion of a membership make a vote, and not all of those people voted yes, as far as I can tell from people who are in the room, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it.
Ms. Cole.
Okay, I need some clarification to what Ms. Mathiak and others have been talking about. So I might have to direct it to you, Melina. I only was contacted by, I think, one or two teachers, and I don't know if there's a precedent for how board members are to consider that when we're ratifying this. As far as the gist was that not all the members were there. This wasn't represented by the majority. So that's one question. And the other is with the percentage, what came out, it wasn't correct the second year. And where does that fit in the picture? Are we supposed to notice that, or at least could we at least explain it so that most of the general public understand what we're talking about?
First of all, let me caution the board about getting involved in internal union politics. The union has its own bylaws. They have their own way of operating. Madison Teachers Incorporated is the legal representative for our 2,600 teachers. And however they conduct their business is their business. And so we really can't, as a board, you can't sit in judgment on how they conduct their business. If they had issues within their own organization about how votes were taken and those kind of things, that's really for them to work out. And they certainly, I'm sure, within their own organization have methods to do that. I don't know what their structure is, but I'm sure they do. The negotiating team that was at the table with us were the appointed representatives by Madison Teachers Incorporated who reached the agreement. The confusion about the final number, I don't think there's any question in anybody's mind that the final number was the 4.019 and the 4.021. That was what was in the press release that was released, and it was also in the initial article in the Cap Times. The information that was released by Madison Teachers Incorporated to their members included a 4.27 in the second year of the contract. That was incorrect. I worked with Mr. Matthews. We released a press release almost immediately as soon as it came to our attention. We released a press release signed jointly by he and I that the correct number was 4.019 and 4.021. So how that communication was handled, within the union is really, I don't get into. That's up to them. But it was released to the press. And the correct number is 4.019 and 4.021, and we all agree with that costing.
Ms. Mathiak.
I'd like to respond to Ms. Cole's question because it seems to imply that I'm trying to involve myself in MTI politics. That's not the issue. The issue is that it's a large bargaining unit. Anytime a union takes a vote and the numbers are reported in the paper and the paper's numbers are pretty small, it says to me that this isn't quite the ringing endorsement that I'm being told. And when I do have contacts over the weekend and I do read things that people have put on various public forums and blogs about their feelings about the contract, it reinforces my sense that I, as a board member and as a steward of our educational system, I need to be concerned that this is something that doesn't augur well as a decision, that it is something that could be yet another decision that we make in haste because we think we have to, and then we end up saying, wait a minute, maybe we should have done something different. I'm very concerned about some of the things that as a board that we have discussed. I'm concerned about what I perceive, and I think it was an honest mistake, but I am concerned that, in fact, yes, of course, the numbers were clarified, but they are clarified after less than 1%, I think, of the union voted. So what people I just have a feeling, and that's, again, an MTI problem, but as somebody who has an opportunity to say, what are we doing here? Is this a contract that makes sense for our schools? Is this an agreement that is going to keep the teachers I am concerned about most? And that is the young and mid-career teachers who pour out their passion and time and energy into our schools. Is this going to be the type of agreement that is going to be attractive to them? I look at the contacts I've had. I look at the attendance at what, to me, would have been a very important vote as a union member, and I'm thinking, I don't know what to make of it, but it's not feeling like a compelling argument that this is something that everybody's behind. And as somebody, again, who wants to keep young and mid-career teachers in the schools, and having heard the frustration over the way that the WPS benefits are structured, the fact that group health people who help us with our budget problems by choosing a less expensive health care option are now stuck with the same co-pays as the WPS people who have a really great plan, I have to listen to that, and I have to think about, is this fair, is this equitable? And I'm sure that I'm driving the bargaining team nuts right now, but it is, in fact, what, as a board member, I need to think about, because my priority is not generous retirement packages into the next, into 2011. My priority is keeping good teachers here into 2011. That's a big difference.
I guess it's my turn. Over the weekend, I've heard from a number of teachers, and if you go just by the straw poll of what you hear from, I happen to hear from a lot of people that want a WPS. So I struggle with the personally with, you know, the people that I've heard from and what that really means. And so I fall back to, I guess, the process that we followed. I think we've bargained in good faith with the union, with the expectation that the union was representing the teachers. And we did that. We came to agreement, which the bargaining team agreed to. And, we've moved through the process from there. I don't feel we can go back and second guess on what we're hearing. I would love to give the teachers more money, so please don't anyone get me wrong. But you know, as we've moved through this process, I think we've made the offer, we've gone through the bargaining, and again, we came to agreement last week. So my personal opinion is that we have to respect that, and from that perspective, I will be voting in favor of the motion that is on the table.
And just we took a vote last week. We didn't come to an agreement. Just I was, I really
the
want
district
to be very clear
and
that
the district
there was no
and MTI is
oh,
what
okay,
I'm referring
I'm sorry.
To. On Wednesday or Thursday of last week. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Ms. Cole. Then I think
Thanks.
We'll call the question.
Okay. I just need a little bit more clarification, and I apologize. I'm new to this. As far as the retirement is concerned, can someone go over with me exactly what we voted on when it came to the TERP? Because I thought that we had only extended it for a year, that there was a motion.
I don't know if everybody wants to waive their right to closed session. That was a closed session item. Ms. Cupson can waive her statement, but I don't believe we can waive the closed session for everybody. Am
okay.
I right? Right.
Okay.
So we can't, I can't respond to you.
Well, I just wanted to make two comments then. And
well, I guess I could say that the agreement was within the was in accordance with the vote that we took.
That's correct.
Okay. I think why this vote is so difficult for me is, for one, that having another sitting board member absent through most of the executive sessions for me is just really difficult, because a lot gets done and is weighed in, and I think that I hope next time that we clarify when exactly we're meeting so that everyone is there and present, because it does take up a huge amount of our budget. And also I think for me, the elephant in the room, excuse my zookeeping background, but the elephant in the room is the health insurance and the fact that it's just really hard to vote on something like this when we all are sitting here knowing that the person that's in charge of the teachers union also sits on WPS board. And I have a hard time with that, because it means that I have to be very frank and open and honest with everyone and make sure that folks see what the process is, that we're sitting here and being very thoughtful. And I think one of my largest concerns goes back to what Ms. Kubza, Ms. Masayak, and Ms. Moss have talked about, which is the, and I'm sure all the board members agree, is the younger teachers, and that when we make cuts, they tend to be the first ones to leave, and that's just very concerning for me as a board member.
Okay, I think we will move to a vote. We have a motion on the floor and a second. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No. No.
That passes 4-3. Before we go to the next agenda item, I do want to reiterate something that first Ms. Kubza said, and then other board members chimed in on, and this is a message to our teachers. And I've said this at a couple of places I've spoken recently, but certainly want to go on the record saying this again. I think teaching is one of the most important professions in our society today, for what you're doing in educating and helping our children. It's also one of the toughest professions in society today. If you look at what our state does with the revenue caps, our constant budget changes, the fact that we're teaching to the tests, the fact that we have changing demographics, walking through our door with different issues, different problems every day. It makes teaching very, very much a challenge. But what I do want to also say is that when you walk into the Madison schools, that you don't see that. What you see is teachers working together. You see children smiling. You see creativity. You see learning taking place. And it is because of the teachers that we have such a successful school district. And now maybe the time is at the end of the school year to actually thank you for what you're doing. Again, please do not confuse any of the negotiations with appreciation, because you truly are appreciated by this board. And I just want to make sure that you know that we do thank you for what you're doing. So with that said, we'd like to move to item number 4 on the agenda, renaming Vang Pao Elementary School in the process for renaming Vang Pao Elementary School. And to initially outline the process, I'm going to turn this over to the superintendent.
We provided you with a decision flowchart, which actually we thought was going to be real simple when we started out on this, and it got more and more complicated. Let me kind of walk through it with you so you kind of know how we see that you need to proceed. The very first vote, the first thing is you need to vote, because the Vang Pao Elementary School has already been named. So you need to vote first to rename the school. If you vote to not rename the school, it just keeps the name and everything stops. If you vote to rename the school, number 2 you see on your chart, the first thing you need to do is decide whether you want to rename the school following the current board policy. And let me explain what that would mean. The current board policy would mean that we would completely reopen the naming process, and we would not carry forward names or anything else. It would just start all over again. Everybody would have to submit names that they wanted to have heard, and we would go through the regular process that's defined in the board policy. If that is your decision, everything stops there, and we start the process. If you want to change board policy 6700 and do something other than totally reopen the process and have everybody submit new names, go through all the same process we did before, then you have to waive board policy 6700. Let me walk through the possible things that we thought of that we had heard possibilities of doing. The first option to waive would be to reopen it and waive board policy and only use the final list of names from the first process. That was, my recollection is, about 37 names after everything was taken off. I'm sorry, the first one is use only the final list of names, which would be 3 names. Okay, if you don't want to use only those names, then the next step, if that's what you want to do, we go to the timeline, you would act on those 3 names. If that's not what you want to do and you want to use all the names that were submitted, that's 37, I believe, was the final number that are eligible. If you want to do that, then you would act on, we would start the process from those 37 names, and there would be no additional names submitted. If you don't want to do that, you can then add a list of, add a new category. Right now, there are 4 possible categories. I'm not sure I can remember them all, but let me say, 1 is a person of national prominence, a person of local prominence, a significant geographical landmark or area, and the one, I can never think of the other. There is a.
Oh, do you have it there?
A place of local significance. Those are the 4. If you wanted to add additional categories to be considered, for example, a concept or whatever, if you wanted to add additional category names, then you could do that, and we would completely reopen the process. Those are the options that we saw that you could go through. That doesn't mean you can't think of some more as we go through them. But we think that's the right sequence of events to go through. And so you would begin with a motion to rename the school or not, as you choose. But yes, Mr.
Could I ask a question, Mr. Superintendent? as I've been sort of thinking about the categories and some of the issues, is you had mentioned, for example, you know, a conceptual name, but that's not really one of our categories right now. Could we amend policy 6700 for this naming, or would that have to come for a different down the road?
No, I think you can amend it for this, and that's actually the last thing on the decision list would be to amend. As I said, this was the way we laid it out. But no, the last thing on here would be to amend, and you would actually be waiving the policy and adding one or more additional categories of names that could be considered.
But you're not really waiving the policy. You would amend the policy before you would apply it.
That's correct.
So it may be a different line on the decision.
Yeah.
Because waiving suggests that we're not following our policy.
Right.
And I would want to follow whatever our policies are, but we could change our policy before we apply it.
Absolutely. You could, for example, if you choose to rename the school, you could rename the school following Board Policy 6700 as it is, which means that you would completely reopen. And then you could make the decision that at the next board meeting you would consider new categories and change the policy to include those categories. You couldn't take that action tonight. The only actions you can do tonight are renaming the school and deciding what process you're going to use. But you could do that. And we'll try to help get us through this.
Thank you for the explanation. I am going to turn the meeting over to Ms. Kubza, and I'm going to make a motion.
Okay. I'll recognize Ms. Silvera.
Thank you. To open up this discussion and process, I move that we rename Vang Pao Elementary School.
Second.
There's been a motion and a second. Can I turn it back over to the chair? President?
So, sure. Is there any discussion on the motion? Ms. Mathiak.
I will vote to support this motion, and it is with deep regret that I do so. This has been a very, very difficult issue for many of us, and I think that we really do need closure. I actually spent some time over the last few days going back and looking at other attempts to name schools, not just in Madison, and it's been very interesting because in the early 1990s, we went through a process to rename our middle schools to reflect the growing diversity of our Madison schools. And that was a process that was controversial in and of itself. But it was something that took place, and although people said, we'll never recognize the school by this name, in fact, we all call them by their new names, Toki, Chavez, or Toki, Whitehorse, and so forth, Hamilton. And I think that there was that type of spirit among the board when we voted originally for this name. Nobody goes into something like this looking for unforeseen circumstances and ones that are especially challenging, but that is, in fact, what we've been handed. I want to be crystal clear that this does not in any way reflect my feeling about the importance and the need to recognize that we have a very significant community group that is part of our Madison community, and that group is composed of Hmong people, many of whom are veterans of American wars, who served, who lost everything because of their support for United States foreign policy. And it is especially painful to be at this moment because of that. I also want to say to my friends and colleagues in the Hmong community that you are in good company. There are a couple things I found when I was going through the sort of history of naming schools. One was the 1991 moment when there was a movement to rename Hawthorne School in honor of Rosa Parks. and it was turned down. Apparently Rosa wasn't good enough for us either. So I think that there are some other moments when we have said no. There was a flap over naming Cesar Chavez School in opposition to that name. There was opposition to many of the names that we have seen. I would like to move forward, but I think in this case, the way to move forward is to take one step back.
I'll make a comment. In making the motion, first I'd like to say what this is, or my intent, and that is to tie in what Ms. Mathiak said. I think sometimes you have to step back in order to go forward. And I think for the community, and more importantly, for our children, I think we have to make sure that there's not a lot of controversy surrounding a school where the children will attend. What this is not, and I want to make this very clear, this is not a statement against our Hmong community, and this is not a statement to do with the allegations or my thoughts about General Vang Pao. I, too, like Ms. Mathiak, respect the Hmong community, what they have brought to us, and what they have done in our community and in our schools. So please, I want to make that clear. And so I will, as I made the motion, we'll be supporting that. Ms. Mathiak? I'm sorry, Ms. Kubsa?
I agree that given current events, now is not the time to name a Madison school after General Vang Pao. However, I would like to make a few comments about the original selection of the name for the new school. In naming Vang Pao School, the school board did follow its policies, despite what people might like to think. Board does have a policy 6700, and there's no question in my mind but that the board followed this policy correctly and appropriately, and I totally disagree with those who suggest otherwise. Those individuals and groups who originally submitted names for the new school also followed the board's policy. All individuals and groups were given an equal opportunity to submit and advocate for names for the new school, and no group was given favoritism in this process. When the school board received the submissions for the name for the new school, one submission clearly stood out because of the volume of information and the amount of support provided for the submission. And anyone can go to the district and take a look at the submissions and clearly see that one name stood out far above. That submission also stood out based upon the number of people who came before the board at a public hearing in support of the submission. At that time, no other submission even remotely had the amount of support expressed before the board as this submission did. And that submission was for the name General Vang Pao. The individuals who worked together to propose and submit the name Vang Pao to the school board should be extremely proud of the work they did in support of their submission. As I said, no one else put in the time or effort or work to even remotely come up with a submission that had the amount of documentation and support as that submission did. These individuals worked within the appropriate board policy, and the name they submitted was ultimately selected. Although new events will likely change this result, these individuals should be extremely proud of their work. It is very easy, and unfortunately becoming all too common, for people to sit back and wait for a decision to be made, and then come out of the woodwork to criticize and ask for reconsideration. It is more difficult to take the initiative and effort to work through the process from the beginning. And for this, I'd like to thank those who did. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Mr. Winston.
What's your name again, Ms.?
Laura. Get ready. It's a long ride. You know, I just thank you for being here, too. You know, hope this doesn't scare y'all. Just a few comments, just for my colleagues on the board. If you remember, last year at this time, we were talking about a referendum, and we were getting things together. We were getting the data together, and it was tough because we knew, we looked at all the information. We knew we needed a school on the far west side of town. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Moving up to November, I believe November 8th to be exact. Then November 8th, we had the referendum, and it passed. I mean, not even close. And I thought, at all those times, I thought, man, this, I don't know if this is going to happen. This is, I don't know. It's going to be real close. But our community supported the school, and he supported the district. And I realize we've had a whole lot of challenges that we faced since April 30th. A lot of people have come down and talked to the board and everything else. But it's one thing that's very clear, that people truly do care about their schools here in this district. They truly do. And regardless if we agree or not or disagree or anything like that, they truly do care. You know, I'm saddened about the event for today because it's very clear that a change will be made. And it feels like, you know, we made a decision and we reconsider it. And whatever the reasons are, you know, it feels like there's going to be winners and losers in this. I do hope that once we make this decision, that we do consider the ramifications of that decision and look to try to reach out to people that to make sure that we recover from this, because this issue has truly polarized our community along racial lines, along community lines, and I hope that we can recover from this and start healing, because I just really believe that strongly, and I keep thinking about this, that the issue that we face as a district are not what's on the outside of the building, the name. The issues are what's going on in the inside of the building, and the education that all these kids need, and that our employees need to be supported, as everyone so eloquently put earlier today in terms of the ratifying the contract. We really got to work real hard as a board to get our community to start thinking about what's happening on the inside of the building, and not have the focal point be on what's outside the building. Because we want all of our students to be successful. We want all of our communities to feel good about their schools. And today, like I said, it's a sad day. And I hope people, once we make this decision, I hope they don't cheer. I hope they don't cheer. Regardless. Because it just really, people are not going to feel good about it. And I know I don't. So, and I only speak for myself. But I think once we make this decision, I hope we can start talking about where do we move forward from here and really start having that really robust discussion about it. And maybe we do have to look at our policies and see if there's some tweaking that we can do with them. And with Ms. Cubs, I think your statement is absolutely correct. I just think that we might just have to look at it a little more carefully, maybe refine what we want to see happen in the future, because I do hope that the school district, and the data will show clearly, in the future we will have to build more schools. So this is not the last time that we will hopefully name a facility again. Thank you.
Ms. Moss.
I agree with what the other board members have said so far. I just wanted to add a little bit. I was not on the board when the decision was made, but I did support and I stuck by the decision because I was really excited about the idea of naming the school after a Hmong leader. And I was, I loved being here when we had the outpouring of support from the community and the audience. And it really reinforced what I think is great about Madison. It's with great regret that I'm going to vote to reconsider the naming of the school. I actually, on a personal note, I was in Vietnam last week and spent time in the Hmong community in Vietnam. I know it's different from the Hmong community in Laos, but I found them to be, although they were extremely poor, they were the most welcoming, warm people that I've met in a long, long time. And so this is something that I feel very personal about, and I'm sorry that it's come to this point. And I hope that we can move on and move forward from here and work together. Thank you.
Okay, we ready to move to a vote? I just want to clarify, the motion was to rename Vang Pao Elementary School. Reconsider takes us down another path, so I just want to make sure we're all on the same. That's okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And that passes 7-0. Superintendent.
The next option that you need to deal with is to rename the school, is whether you want to rename the school following current board policy. And let me be clear. The current board policy would require you, because this is a renaming and the board policy specifically addresses that, would require you to completely reopen for all new names. So we wouldn't carry over any names. It would be all new names that would come forward. So that's really what you're acting on now. In order not to do that, you would vote no, and then you would work through a series of waivers if you wanted to keep the names you got and those kind of things. So
basically on this, if we vote yes, it's following our current policy as is.
As is. But, well, then following that, if you want to make amendments, you would refer that to the next board meeting where you could make amendments to the board policy based on categories and those kind of things, is the way
so
I see it.
So if we want to make amendments to the board policy, if we wanted to vote for board policy 6700 and make amendments to the policy, do we vote yes or do we vote no?
You would first vote yes. What using board policy 6700 means, if you vote yes right now, is that you would completely reopen the process. You wouldn't carry any names over from the past, and that's actually what the policy is. You would completely reopen the process. That means people could submit the same names if they wanted to, but everything would have to be resubmitted. If you vote yes to that, at that point then would be time to do motions to bring the board policy up for amendment at the July 9th board meeting.
So just looking at this flow chart where it says rename school following current board policy 6700, maybe we could delete the word current and just so we would follow board policy 6700 either as it exists now or as we
amendments.
Subsequently amend it.
That's correct. But the fundamental first thing is you would be completely reopening.
Well, actually, I was wondering whether we could kind of get some sense of where board members are, what they would like to do before we start making motions.
Sure. Yeah.
My strong inclination is to follow our policy and open the process, follow the process as it is either now or we revise it.
Okay. That's pretty much where I am also.
That my inclination is to do the same, and that in doing that, it precludes none of the names that have already been submitted, and it allows for the submission of additional names from the community. So that would be my favor.
We seem to have the community's attention, so it might be a good time for that.
Ms. Mathiak.
I, too, would like to just go back to square one, in part because I fear that if we don't, we're going to have even more accusations of not following policies. So in the interest of the record and the process and everything else that we need to do to be diligent, I would strongly prefer to go back to square one and let everybody participate or forever hold their peace.
Thank you. Mr. Winston.
Yeah, I guess obviously there'll be a motion made, but I'm not going to be supportive of starting from scratch. I think that, again, this is a very polarizing issue, and I'm starting to, you know, hear more about people that want to bring forth additional names and things like that. And so, you know, as a board, are we prepared to take more testimony? Again, for long periods of time, we you know, in all honesty, we could be in a similar situation where we, in essence, are, you're starting over with a process, a new name goes up there. Well, there'll be people that say, well, I don't want that name. Well, I don't think this is a good name. Or, you know, I mean, to just, and I just don't know right now in terms of myself, my own personal feelings. I just don't know if I can be fully supportive of a name of a person right now, because people are trying to, in essence, kind of use this as a rallying cry for different communities and things like that. And I just think in the end, it'll be still a tough situation for everyone. And I understand that, maybe we want to start again and start fresh, but it's not fresh. It's never going to be fresh. It's going to be, I think that the school itself, no matter what its name, is going to be a great school, and people are going to get good educations there and everything else. So I want to make sure that, I'm not referring to that. But, we know. All these people on this and all the people, these are all fine people. Why can't we start from here? I just think that as a board, we have some other issues that we really should really be driving our attention, and I just think this kind of diverts from that, and I think it diverts the community's attention as well. Again, it's the name on the outside of the building when we want to start talking about what's going on the inside, and it's not going to happen if we don't make it happen.
Ms. Mathak?
I truly understand your feelings, and I have to say I was not looking forward to more long hearings. My concern is that if we don't reopen it and go back to square one, we're going to be having long public appearances from groups that are angry because we went back to the original list. Furthermore, we haven't gotten to that part, but should we choose to use Board Policy 6700, I have a couple of motions I would like to make, and one of those would actually remove some names from the list of 41.
Did it remove or what?
Remove, because they're living.
Yeah. See, I don't.
Let's focus on the bigger part right now, whether we want to follow the policy before we getting into the specifics of the policy.
Yeah. But it is something that I think we as a board should discuss.
Oh, absolutely. I see that as kind of the next step.
I think any time that you have a situation that happens, it is a time, I don't think just as a board of education that, we can't learn as well. We can't change. We can't tweak. We can't, one of the things I heard about all the time from the superintendent, if you don't like a policy, change it. So, here's the opportunity.
Oh, no, I agree that we have to discuss that this evening. All I was bringing the point, if we're not going to go down the route of following the policy, then we don't need to talk about tweaking it.
Well,
I think we should have that decision.
Let me clarify that, because if you don't if you're going to waive the board policy, like if you're going to use the final list of names, then you, changing the policy is an irrelevance. You would do that later. That's true all the way down. Once you don't reopen the, once you don't reopen it, you've got those either three names or those 37 names. So tweaking the board policy would only be if you kept those and reopened in for additional names. But right now, you probably need to act on whether or not you want to just use 6,700, which means open it up to all new names.
Mr. Winston.
I mean, is the board ready to go down this road again? I mean, I'll tell you. Uh-huh. Well, I see some people are, but I'll just tell you.
The right thing to do.
If I could make a suggestion to you, why don't you make a motion, and then you can vote, and everybody will know where you're going.
Sure.
Well, and discuss in context of the motion, and I think we'll get through this a lot better.
I'll tell you, my Madison Metropolitan School District diploma that I received about 21 years ago taught me how to count to four. So I think I got the gist of where we're going. I just want to make sure that I get my thoughts on the table, and that'll be that, and we can go from there.
But so, after the motion.
Yeah, after the motion, that's fine. So,
Ms. Mathiak.
Madam President, I move that we implement Board Policy 6700, proposal for naming an MMSD building, to select the name for the new school on the west side.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, just
Mr. Winston.
I want to be on the record I won't be supporting this, but at the same time, I really hope that whatever we do, obviously, I hope the communities will support that, and we'll move forward from there. I do have something I would like to discuss in terms of a proposal for naming an area within a school or school campus that I would like to move forward. And I do believe that, given our situation of what has transpired, I'd like to see us somehow tie the Hmong community within this school, making sure that
I think we have to vote on this motion.
Well, we can vote on the motion.
I think that issue is off the current agenda. We just have a Supreme Court ruling about those issues.
Okay,
I would suggest that we stay with the agenda. That would be an appropriate agenda item for July 9th.
Sure. I'll throw that out there, though.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor of the motion on the floor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And that passes 6-1. Superintendent.
Now, based on your previous discussion, it would probably be appropriate to submit possible amendments, because my sense was that you wanted to make some changes to the policy prior to implementing it. You may want to, I don't know if that's going to take a motion or if you guys just... What I would suggest is that we place amending Board Policy 6700 on the agenda for July 9th. If board members would submit to us possible changes you would like to make, we'll try to compile those, get those back to you, and then we can work our way through those on July 9th. If that would be acceptable with everybody, let's proceed that way. That doesn't take a motion.
Is everyone in agreement? Ms. Carstensen?
Yeah, I just wanted to add one other thing. Actually, it's to Lucy's past history, which is my favorite school naming story, which has to do with, and some of you have heard this, when the district built its second high school on East Washington Avenue, the board determined that it would name that school after William Vilas, and the East Side community rose up in outrage, saying, "You're not going to name our school after a West Sider who's connected to the university." And so the board, as
school boards frequently do, said, oh, we may have made a mistake. And so they appointed a committee of community members to propose a new name for the high school. And that committee met and worked on it and got support. And the name they proposed was East Side High School. And if you look at the stone lintel on the East Washington's face of the school, it actually says East Side High School. We have since shortened it to East High. And I'm sure that prior to that, there were probably some other controversies over naming of schools.
Ms. Rivera, might recap just so everybody knows exactly where we are. We will rename the school following current board policy 6700, which will mean that it will be completely reopened. Just a reminder that people who did submit names, those names should be resubmitted. It can even be the same documents you submitted before, but those need to be resubmitted, and then the board will take up amendments to the policy on July 9th, and I would suggest that we not take any names until after all that is done. So we will publicly announce when we will be accepting names.
And then on the 9th, they can do a timeline also.
At that meeting, can you hand out a schedule with?
Yes, we will. We will try to have a timeline for that meeting.
And then, would Mr. Winston's idea about naming a subsection of a building fall into the modification of 6700, or should that be a separate agenda?
No, there actually is I didn't understand if Mr. Winston wanted to rename part of a building or if he wanted to change the policy, because there is a policy about renaming a part of the building.
No, just again to talk about renaming part of the building that hasn't been built yet.
Yeah, I think the policy still applies. I don't believe, unless there's some change you want to specifically make to the renaming policy, renaming an area of a school, that would just come up as a suggestion, a recommendation. There's a way to go about doing that. So this would really be amendments to the actual policy itself that board members would like to make. Again, if you'll get those to us, we will compile those, and you can act on those on the 9th. Then we will have a timeline there that night for what it will look like out to the naming.
Thank you. Ms. Cole?
Just some clarification. When and if I decide to submit an amendment, on number 2 of the policy 6700, when it talks about submitting a proposal to the following groups and asking for a formal reaction, one of my biggest concerns is this policy seems to be written even though it says building designation, it seems to be focused more on a name change where you have a standing group of either a school principal, staff, and students. And one issue that concerns me is not so much that we go through this process and ask for names, but that we somehow think about the inclusion or the ownership that those future students seem to really want to have on this building. And even though some folks, if they're like me, they don't come up with great ideas for names, I had a really hard time naming three boys, and I don't ever want to do that again. But I always have an opinion. And so What I'd like to know is, have we ever done this in the past where how would we go about, or the administration, it looks like, would go about getting that information or contacting families in that area? And second, could you explain to me what the appropriate administrative committee would be that's responsible for doing that so that I know who to contact, and therefore I don't have to put that on my plate, and I can give that back to you.
Okay, first of all, yes, we have done this before. Cesar Chavez, when it was named, did not have a student body. Right now, the new school does not have a student body. The Board of Education has not determined final boundaries for the school, so we don't even know the boundaries. It's also been our position, and was with Chavez, that a student body does not exist until students are in fact enrolled, and that no PTO exists until students are enrolled and all of the people who attend that school have an opportunity. So as with Chavez, that step you have to skip because those people don't exist right now. I mean, obviously there are people who live across the street from the school that are going to be in the school, but this is the kind of thing that everybody who is a part of that school should be entitled to. So we have taken the approach of not doing that and have taken general community input as we did in the process as we originally did it. The administrative committee, our public information office handles all of the public information that goes out, collects all the input that comes in. The administrative committee that actually reviews those and makes the final choice of four or whatever we forward to you is our senior management team that represents all the departments in the school district.
May I add something? The last time, during the last process, you actually voted to not use the committee structure, which would have been long-range planning, I think, is what we had talked about before. So you could take that step out again or keep it in if you voted to follow the policy to its letter.
Thank you.
Good question.
Going to the full board.
Yeah,
the full board.
Mr. Winston.
Is there anything in terms of the amendment of the policy, there was a step between when people gave the names, it was went to the administrative committee, and then it came back to the final, well, now it was final four at the time.
Right.
Could there be a step in there where we again take public input after the final names, the final people come in there? And the reason why I say that is because then it allows then perhaps community members to see, okay, these are the final four, and, you know, what do people believe, what do people think? Now, obviously, we do have a group that lives in the area, you know, so, but it would obviously give them an opportunity to weigh in on the process on a more personal level.
Certainly you can amend the policy to do anything you want it to do.
Well, I didn't know if you could add a public hearing.
Yeah, and when you amend the policy, you could add an additional public hearing. My recollection is people came and spoke the night you voted. Was
I don't think
right?
It was a public hearing, but there were comments at the meeting.
When we got down to four, there was... Yeah. I was thinking, I don't know, but you can certainly, as you amend the policy, you can amend it to whatever you'd like to submit.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, number five on the agenda, alternative school locations. I will turn that over to the superintendent.
In trying to do the best job we can of citing the alternative schools within Lapham and Marquette, we've done a lot of work with architects and everybody else, two things. One is we want, because you specifically cited the schools, the alternative programs, when you approve the budget, we want to change that a little bit. We have to come back to you. But we're going to try to do it with a motion that allows us within Lapham and Marquette to cite those programs wherever best fits as we go forward, so that 10 years from now we're not locked into this exact same structure and we can make the moves like we do with other district programs. So really what we're asking you to do, and I'll let Steve go over with you exactly what moves we're proposing to make and how we plan to do it.
Good evening. I think in your packet I gave you the very specific plan that we're working from now that looks at putting the school-age parent program and the We Start program at Marquette and moving the cluster arrow work and learn Beerley Street to Lapham. And right now that seems to be by far the best plan that we're working from. It really does fit the programs and the cluster of kids that we want to keep together. And so that seems to make the most sense to us.
I have a question. We've heard from some people that the space for work and learn at Lapham is not suitable. Could you address that concern?
I do believe it is suitable. We're working on plans a little bit to do some wiring to make sure that we get a computer lab in there, and the total square footage of that third floor is more than they have now. So I do feel confident that we will be able to comfortably move in that third floor with those three programs.
Thank you. Ms. Mathiak.
This is not so much a spatial issue, although it sort of is. There have been a number of people who have been very busy posting information on police calls to Work and Learn in other places, and expressing concern that it's not appropriate to have the Work and Learn kids anywhere near an elementary school. I have two questions. One is, how much contact are the Work and Learn kids actually going to have with the elementary school kids? I mean, what are the contact points? And what provisions are in place? And then the other question is, and this is not necessarily fair because you didn't know I was going to ask this, but it's when I look at the police calls, I'm curious as to how they compare to any of our middle or high schools.
Mm-hmm. Let me talk a little bit about the clustering of the programs. Certainly for the Work and Learn Aero cluster, they'll be on the third floor of Lapham. So we really have designed a stairway, a space, an entrance, a primary entrance that they will use, that they will go up to that third floor, use the elevator, and come back down that space. So we'll definitely work with the students to have kind of a traffic pattern that seems to fit for everybody. I do believe down the line, as the two groups of people get comfortable, there'll be some interaction between students. I think initially it'll be all very controlled, and it'll be all within classroom settings, and it'll be kind of a slow step-by-step process. So initially, we're going to take control of traffic patterns, particularly at the Lapham, the cluster area, Work Learn. Marquette, it'll all be on that first floor area, so they'll be kind of on one end of that first floor wing. So there'll be separation a little bit. There'll be two fifth grade classrooms on that same floor with them.
Steve, I might comment. Also, our Work Learn kids actually work in our elementary schools as part of their work experience already, and those have been very, very good experiences, I think, for both the kids and our Work Learn kids.
Lapham currently has four kids, had before the school ended, four students from the Work and Learn working there this year, and so they're in their buildings.
I'm just curious, because I also am aware that alternative programs had been using the gym at Lapham, and there have never been problems with that.
Right.
Okay, I'm just trying to get us, because,
I appreciate that. We've seen the list of police calls, and certainly a number of those calls are situations where those students are victims in that situation. Because they come to school and because they know their staff, we hear about situations in the community, and a percentage of those calls are us following up on situations where the event didn't take place at school or near school. We're supporting that student. So there are a range of things in that, but a number of them are because we know the students and we're following up on community situations that they're engaged in.
Ms. Moss.
Yeah, I know several of the Work and Learn students have children at We Start, and are they going to have easy access to their children in the daycare? And also, I think a lot of them work in the We Start program.
Certainly this year there'll be a little bit of a gap because there's that several blocks difference, so we'll have to help work out some of that. Definitely we'll give the Work Learn students high priority to have their children in the We Start program so they get good access to it, and we'll provide them some time in their day to be able to get to do that. So yes, that's in our plan.
Any additional discussion? Do we have a motion, Ms. Kubza?
I move that the alternative programs, which are Alternative Education Resource Options, School Age Parent Program, Work and Learn, Brearley Cluster, and the We Start Daycare Program be housed at Lapham and Marquette Schools, and that the administration use its best judgment to determine which programs best fit within which school.
Second.
We have a motion and a second by Ms. Mathiak. Any further discussion?
Do we want to invite Mr. Winston to rejoin us?
Yes, whatever it is.
Actually, you wanted to move them to your house.
I'll take them. If they can babysit. Okay.
Okay, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes 7-0. Item number 6, transportation for Spring Harbor and Wright Middle Schools. Superintendent.
This is actually just an information item. As you recall, we eliminated the yellow bus transportation from Spring Harbor and J.C. Wright. We have been working with